Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Friday night. Angie Evers in studio. What was that?
Oh, nothing.
Do you see a pushpin laying over there on the table next to the earphones? I wonder what that fell out of.
I think I seen one on the couch the other day. I think I may have set it on the table.
Terry was laying on the couch last night. That could have been bad. By the way, give us a buzz if you have any Columbus, Ohio. You know, that it's strange. This is a topic I've never done on the radio, so it's kind of fun. 740-383-9944. Columbus, Ohio personality, I'm going to call them urban myths. Like, there was a myth for a long time that Jim Ganahl, I think the caller was saying that he did cocaine. I'm going to say he did some kind of drug. I do remember there being a story about that, but to be honest with you, I don't think anybody's talked about it ever since. Now, also, I have to say with Flippo the Clown, there were stories that went on for years that he would go in bars and get drunk. And, you know, I got drunk with Flippo the Clown. I can't imagine that, because my run-ins with him, he was too nice of a guy. I don't know, like, he could have been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but I just don't know.
Well, nice guys can drink.
Yeah, but that he would be this drunk, that's pretty much how they portrayed him, that he was this drunk.
Hmm. Well, could have been. I mean, not everybody could get into a clown suit every day and do that.
But I think it was in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s when he was retired.
Oh, after his school.
Yeah. Oh. So I don't know. Did anybody ever hear these stories or have any proof that they were true or were not true? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I remember the Dispatch covering the thing between Bob Nunley and Jim Ganahl, but I don't think they ever said what was said. But there was a discrimination lawsuit was filed.
Huh. So who was filing what?
I think Bob Nunley had filed it against Jim Ganahl.
Huh. Why?
I don't think anybody ever knew. They settled it, and then not too long after that, Jim Ganahl was gone, but I can't believe they would pick him over Bob Nunley. Or that they would pick Bob Nunley over Jim Ganahl. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, y'all.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Just, you know, the work week's over. Time to put your feet up and relax. Rock out with some WWGH.
Oh, that's what I do at the end of the week.
You are WWGH.
I wonder if I'll get those rumors started about me when I leave, that I'm, you know, the town drunk or that I'm doing all kinds of things.
Rumors don't just pop us out of the corn. I mean, every rumor, no matter how much it's been blown out of proportion, there's usually a little bit behind it, don't you think?
No, I would say, honestly, no. Now, there are a lot of them, you're exactly right. But some people just plainly make up things to try to, I'll tell you what they do, they take a fact, and they stretch it into something that it is not at all. Now, if you're doing drugs, I don't frown on you if you stop. I mean, if Jim Ganahl did drugs in the 80s and he's clean and sober now, I applaud that. But if he never did drugs, I don't think this should be hung around his neck.
Right. I'll tell you what I thought was cool. I always liked Jerry Revish. I just thought he was the coolest thing ever. And I looked him up just now. Did you know he's a pastor?
You know, somebody told me that. Honestly, I never knew that, but not too long ago, I found that out.
I could see it there.
Pastor.
He really just, you can't, like, fake that much niceness.
No, but I mean, did you ever think about Mike Davis? What was going
on? Oh, wasn't that terrible? Wasn't that just
terrible? You know
I
what,
think that
though?
Pretty much was just, that was horrible.
A lot of people who met him, though, never really liked that guy.
Well, I mean, you know that, like, when you go on a field trip and you get the, hi, my name is stickers, I mean, perverts don't wear them.
No, but you know, I mean, it is interesting to me that there have been some of those moments like that in Columbus history, but I just don't believe the Jim Ganahl one about drugs, because I can't imagine nobody would ever bring that up again, and also, I don't think Channel 4 in those days would have kept him on if that was really the truth.
Talking about Mike Davis, I tell you who I felt really sorry for was his family, because there, could you imagine, like, you know, being his kid and then you have to go to school the next day? I mean, you wouldn't be able to hold your head up.
Yeah, but you know, and trust me, I am not defending anything Mike Davis did at all. It was awful from what I understand. But the way, do you remember when they just brought him in on the charges and then they released him with no shoes, in his pajamas, and there was nobody there to pick him up, and all these news stations were following him down the road, and they all were covering that? I thought, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, first of all, the police station couldn't have called his house or called, nobody could have brought him over some clothes.
Oh, I don't have any sympathy for someone like that. They should have.
I'm not.
They could have turned him out in the street naked in the middle of the river. You hurt little kids. I have zero sympathy for you.
Well, here's
and
what
I'm from the highest tree.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm not defending what he did at all. It's awful, and he should be where he is. And I think he did admit to doing it. But the problem is, I don't understand how the people at that police station, I mean, they knew all those reporters were out there. They threw
him. They probably did it on purpose.
Well, okay, but that's not how the justice system is supposed to work. This is before the trial. This is before the guilty verdict. What if he had been innocent?
Well, that, unfortunately, that's one of the things that, even if you're found innocent somehow, once you get accused of that, it's like you can never just, that's a permanent stain you can't wash off.
Well, see, and that's,
I imagine there's quite a few people who have had their lives ruined that way.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem, though. Accusing is easy to do. I could get on the air tomorrow morning and accuse somebody of something.
Yeah,
I
but
would
didn't they find that stuff on his computer? I mean, and just like you were saying the other day, you never can really delete anything. It's always out in the cloud or whatever.
Right, you never get rid of anything, but I think also on the flip side, you have to, you really do have to, I mean, gosh knows, even on the local level here, there's not a broadcaster that I know of, no matter how much they were beloved, that I'm not going to do it, but if somebody said the name, I would tell you something nasty that was said about them that probably could, they didn't like.
Right.
But I hope it's not hung around their neck forever. I just, because I don't know that it's always, matter of fact, I know it's not always true.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think there is always truth in things, but I, you know, the thing of it is, I knew Jimmy Crum, and he was awful.
Yeah.
I can speak firsthand about that.
Scott, don't be shy. Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I just tell, I,
there have
been,
back.
Well, there have been people who are difficult, but I had to spend a night
how
with
this man.
How
do you deal with that, man?
Oh, my word. This guy, and I know Sean denies it to this day, but he about ran him over with the car. He disliked him so much. He did, at Applebee's. You about
tell
saw...
Tell us the story. That's too funny to not tell us.
You've never heard that story?
No.
Oh, yeah, here's the deal. We did the show, and it was cold. It was December. And Sean and I... This is Jimmy Crum for you. It's like 10 o'clock in Marion, Ohio on a Friday night. And Jimmy Crum, I said, would you like something to eat? Bacon and eggs. I thought, where are we going to find bacon and eggs at 10:30 on a Friday night in Marion?
Denny's?
Well, I didn't want to take Jimmy Crum to Denny's. I thought
yeah, would... Marion, I mean, where are you going
to
go?
Right, exactly. So I went to Applebee's, and I sent Sean in. I said, ask them if they can make him, out of some salad, some bacon and eggs. Tell him it's Jimmy Crumb. And he came back, and they said, who's Jimmy Crumb?
Oh, my.
And I said, well... Tell him he's a big deal, and they just don't know about it.
I bet that went over like a red anvil.
Oh, yeah. He's a gem. So they did, and we took Jimmy Crumb in there. So he wasn't moving too fast at that age. So we ate dinner, and he ate so slow. We started eating at 10:30, finished up about 7 a.m. the next day for him to eat bacon and eggs. And he'd take a bite, and then he'd look over his glasses with his little beady eyes at you. Never said anything. He just,
That would be weird.
Oh, he was a weird man. But, and he had a sport coat on that looked like Lifesavers.
Yeah, they said, I was with all these guys, but they said he was, that was really a notable thing with his plaid jacket.
Oh, he loved them. So, we're getting ready to leave, and I said, Sean, we've been here about 12 hours. Get the car. You know how Applebee's is, and let's not walk him back to the front door, because that's going to take another hour. Let's go out the side door here. Just pull the car up. It's cold. And I'll walk, when I see you out there, I'll walk him out the side door. So Sean pulls up outside. Now, this is where the story gets hazy. I'll tell you Sean's version, and I'll tell you my version. Sean's version is that I walk Jimmy Crumb out the side door, and he's on his cell phone and accidentally hits the gasoline a little bit.
And, oh my.
And Jimmy starts to step off the curb.
Oh, my.
Now, here's what I really think. Here's my story. Jimmy Crumb goes outside, and when he stepped off the curb, Sean tried to gun it and run him down. Right.
See, this
there at the
is
park.
Why. This is why I'll never take you for a ride on my bus.
No, you.
Keep saying you're going to take a ride on my bus. This is why I'm going to fake the flu if I ever see your name pop up on my computer.
Why would you not like me on your bus? I didn't try to find Jimmy Crumb over.
It'll probably be. A nice, harmonious ride through time. It'll be like, you know, so peaceful and melodic, and the sun will be shining, and the birds will be singing. But then you'll get on the air, and you'll say, she tried to kill me, she's a bad driver, we'll have the mayor calling my boss. It'll be terrible.
You think that Sean did not try to run over Jimmy Crumb?
No, Sean, listen, I've never met the man, but I've been listening to you guys for years, and you can't, like I said earlier about Gary Rose, you can't fake that much sweetness. Sean seems so sweet.
Well, what do I seem like? A lemon?
Well,
I'm going to see if I can get Sean to come in here every morning. I'm going to stay home and
Sean
step in.
Sean can ride on my bus, but you, on the other hand, I don't trust you.
Well, listen, I did not. Hey, you know what? I didn't about run Jimmy Crumb over.
Yeah, and I wasn't speeding this morning when I blew the horn at you, and you said, was that you? Because you were flying by so fast, I couldn't stop.
Listen, all I know is, in the time it took me to turn my head, the bus was gone.
Well, listen here, Patrolman Spears. It was 35 when I was doing 35.
You know, I can't, I mean, maybe I had a crick in my neck and it took me a little longer.
Come on, you're too young for a crick.
A crick in my neck?
What are you calling it, a crick? I thought those were what people fished out of.
No, that's a creek.
That's a creek.
Now, did you?
I think I'm off a creek. I better get off this phone.
Would you ever take Flippo the Clown or Jimmy Crumb or Jim Ganahl on your bus?
Well, why not? I feel like I've already had plenty of clowns. I can tell you some stories, not on the air, but I can tell you some stories.
Now,
have you remember that old show, Confessions of a Taxi Cab Driver?
Oh, yeah. That used to be on HBO.
Yeah. They don't make those shows for nothing.
Now, listen, though. You have seen...
You'll have to interview me once I retire.
Well, you got a few years.
Yeah.
You've seen Jim Ganahl on television, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
Yeah, right. How could you miss him? But, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Just like the thing with Mike Davis. I mean, he seemed like a nice, little joke, Charlie spouse. Hitler was a nice guy. The fat brother. Remember how you used to say that?
He said, what? I missed that.
I heard him say one time, Hitler was a nice guy. Just ask his mom. Everybody can turn it on or off, you know. You never really know. At least I sat here on Netflix and watched a documentary on John Wayne Gacy. They said he was one of the nicest people that you ever met in your life.
Well,
so you never really know.
No, but no, what I'm saying is, not Jim Ganahl, I really don't know about his personality. I'm just saying, doesn't he look awful? Doesn't he look like he shouldn't be?
Oh, you're talking about this.
Yeah.
Now, I thought we were talking about the drug thing.
Well, no, I don't know about the drug thing. I'm just saying that he does not look well, and that's bothersome to me because I worry about the man's health.
You would wonder why the studio would want to keep that going.
Well, I think it's because it's Jim Ganahl, and Channel 6 Channel 6, really, I think they've got a mouse running in some kind of cage over there to keep that station on the air. I mean, have you seen that station?
I don't have, like, cable now. I mostly just, I'm like a Netflix junkie. I have a smart TV, so just whatever I can get for
well,
free.
Well, listen, here's how bad Channel 6 is. If you call them and tell them you don't have Channel 6, they'll come over and do the show in your living room.
Wow.
That's how awful Channel 6 is. So you get Jim Ganahl in your living room telling you the weather. Because nobody watches Channel 6. It's awful. Everybody has known for years that Channel 4 and Channel 10 are the big money dogs in Columbus.
Yeah, I was always when I did have cable, especially back in the day, my favorites were Dave and Andrea.
Oh, Dave Kaler is a great guy. I met Dave Kaler, and I, he did television shows that I was on. He's been on radio.
He has a little bit in your thing where he talks before his Madge, where he talks.
Yes, Madge was the first person to put him on the air.
Yeah, I tried to get the pieces up.
Yeah, but no, Dave was great. I still email back and forth with Dave. Yeah, he's a great guy. I love, there's a picture in the studio somewhere of Charlie and I think Martha and me and Marianne and Dave. We all got together and did a TV show. He's a great guy. But, you know what? Now, here's something that would go in the book. Now, people will criticize me because I'm not going to tell it on the air. And I guess the only reason I never started ripping Jimmy Crumb till he was dead. So I just want to put that in the context that when he was alive. Well, I mean, I don't want to ruin his reputation while he's alive. And if this was a lie, I wouldn't be doing this for fun. But that's how he was. And Jim Ganahl.
Well,
incidentally,
hold on. I want to ask. So what did he say when he almost got ran over at Apple?
Jimmy Crumb?
Yeah.
Oh, he said that we tortured him.
Oh.
He did.
He didn't finish the rest of the story.
Well, he called me one morning. I mean, honest to goodness, I was half asleep on the couch. I'd like early in the morning, and I let the answering machine pick it up, and all of a sudden I get this voice on my answering machine, and you have to remember Jimmy Crumb to appreciate this. It says, you know, my voice comes on back in the day of answering machines, and it says, "This is Scott, leave a message," and this voice comes on there, and he says, "Scott, this is Jimmy Crumb. I just want to let you know when I was in Marion, you tortured me. You tortured me and you embarrassed me, Scott. And
oh,
I want to know, I took the city bus down to Channel 4, and I let them know that you had tortured me and embarrassed me. You took me to Burger King and you fed me wings. And I'll never come back to Marion again. Here's my number, Scott. Give me a call." That's what he said. I said, "Why do I want to call you, you sawed-off little goofball?"
Everybody knows the greatest anchor man in history of time was Ron Burgundy.
Doug Adair.
Remember that show, Anchorman?
I do. Yeah, that's based on a guy out of Michigan.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mort Krim, I think, was his name. But the thing is that... No, that's how Jimmy Crumb dealt with me. But... But I did see him after that, and it was fine. I think he was in the midst of some kind of brain disease. But, because I called Doug Adair after that, because he called Doug Adair. And Doug Adair said, oh, you know, we all know Jimmy. We just kind of overlook him. But, anyway, when Dave Kaler was up here, he told me a story about two very prominent, no, it was Cabot Ray. Cabot Ray was up here. Oh, got it backwards. Cabot Ray was up here.
There's a blast from the past.
Cabot Ray came to Marion.
What kind of name is Cabot?
You know, I don't know, but I think it is his name. Cabot Ray came up here to do a some kind of thing at the palace, and he came on my show, and when we were off the air, he told me this story about an anchor team very popular in Columbus and how they hated each other. And boy, that was fascinating. And it actually ended up to both of them being taken off the news.
Oh.
Because they got along so poorly. And,
that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's one of those stories I heard. But, you know, but I would never make fun of Jimmy Crumb when he was alive, because I wouldn't want people to, you know, go to him and say, Jimmy, you're an awful guy. And Jim Ganahl, I just feel, I mean, you'd have to be blind not to see that problem.
Well, interesting. The things you learn from
WWE. Well, we don't hold it back here. We let it go.
I know, that's what makes it so entertaining.
Like somebody once said, even Hitler's mother loved him.
Yeah, I can't remember, like, what was it? I can't remember what you guys were talking about, but it was just so funny when he said, well, even Hitler was suspect, and just that boss, meaning, like, everybody has, you know, fans, at least some fans, or everybody has some kind of a fan club or can put an act on for, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what the best bit of advice I ever heard, and this is true, and it involved, I don't know why it involves Hitler, but it does involve Hitler. When Hitler got up in the morning and looked in the mirror, he didn't think he was evil.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean.
You know, it's true. People who are evil don't know it. We look at them and we go, gosh, that guy's a jerk. He's just bad to the bone, evil. They don't know it. If they knew that, they wouldn't be that way.
Yeah, my favorite's probably so sorry for himself and probably wonders why everybody's being so mean to him.
You know what, though, I don't understand about that whole thing? One more thing about Mike Davis. What I don't understand, he was looking at little kids on the internet. What shouldn't the person who put those pictures on the internet be charged with a crime?
Oh, yeah, anybody that had a hand in that.
But nobody ever, I never heard anything more about it.
Yeah, that was just terrible all the way around.
Who knows? Well, I'm glad you're spending your Friday night with us.
Nothing else. I'd rather do.
Well, stay with us for 20 more minutes. Thanks.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Did you like my Jimmy Crumb impersonation?
Yes, I did.
That's pretty much how it happened.
Yeah, I believe you.
Oh, he was mean. Just a nasty. And I did nothing to this man. Nothing.
You tortured him.
Tortured him. I did.
You did.
I, you know, and everybody else from Columbus, I've always had a fine relationship with. Colleen Marshall, Doug Adair, Joe Holbrook, Fritz the Night Owl, Flippo the Clown, fine. Never, Dave Kaler, never had a bad word. But that Jimmy Crumb, he was just a rude fellow.
Hmm. Well, you know, people don't always mesh.
No, but I can't imagine anybody liked him. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott and Angie, how are you doing tonight?
Good, how you doing?
Doing great. I just wanted to say, well, I actually had several things to say, but I just wanted to say it was really great being there last night. Angie, it was nice meeting you. It was really nice meeting your mom.
Yes.
Had some great conversation. It was a wonderful night last night.
Now, do you think we have any skeletons in our closet like these people in Columbus do?
Everybody has skeletons in their closet, Scott. I hate to tell you that. But I was born in 1959, which makes me 62, and I lived in Columbus for 40 years.
Oh.
So I grew up and lived all through Doug and Mona and Jim Ganahl and Mike Davis and Yolanda Harris and Bob Nunley when he was on the radio and all those things. So I can share some things with you, Scott, to answer some of your questions.
Well, let me tell you this. We'll just save it, and we don't have to get into this on the air if you're not comfortable, but are the rumors concerning Jim Ganahl more true than not?
Well, let me tell you about Jim Ganahl. He was on Channel 4 at the time, and then he took a leave of absence, and the official story from NBC, or, well, Channel 4, at that time, when he took the leave of absence, and then when he came back, the official story was that because of injuries to his back, he had accidentally gotten addicted to what is called Qualudes, but everybody else called Quaaludes. And they admitted that he had had a drug problem, that he was addicted to Qualudes that were prescribed by his physician. But then later, his physician ended up losing his license for over-prescribing narcotics. But that was the official story.
So not cocaine?
No. I don't ever remember any drug other than Quaaludes being ever mentioned. It was prescribed by his doctor, and he had become addicted to it.
Now, in Columbus, did you ever see Flippo tipping him back?
Never. I don't have anything about Flippo other than I grew up watching him.
Nice man.
Yeah, but now I've got some stuff to tell you about Mike Davis, okay?
Oh.
So I have two children. I have a 33-year-old son and a 30-year-old son. And back in the day when my wife was working in a daycare that my... It's a long story about me being divorced and all that kind of stuff, but my boys were in a daycare where my second wife was working, and she had worked at a daycare where Mike Davis's kids were at. Mike Davis's kids are roughly the same age as mine. And, you know, she was, oh, Mike Davis, you know, he's on the TV and everything, and I was at the daycare that his kids were at, and I go, is he as nice, you know, as a person that you, like, think on TV? And her comment to me more than once was, he's really nice, really personable, but there's something about that guy that just makes me feel uneasy, and I don't know what it is.
A lot of people said, now, Jimmy Crumb?
Yeah. Jimmy Crumb, I don't know anything about Jimmy Crumb other than I grew up watching Jimmy Crumb on TV. But everything that you've said about him tonight in personal relationships doesn't surprise me. Because really, when you would watch him on TV, he just kind of seemed like somewhat of a gruff, egotistical individual.
I'll tell this story. Because maybe people think that I'm coming down too hard on Jimmy Crumb, and you know what? The thing of it is, as a kid and growing up here in Central Ohio, I liked Jimmy Crumb. I liked watching him. I thought he was a very entertaining sports guy. I thought he was a good play-by-play man. I did think that wearing those coats was a neat niche. I thought that I liked. I wouldn't have invited him up here if I didn't think he was worth anything. But after I had that run-in with him, and I'm not going to say who told me this, but I had another Columbus personality come up who'd been there for a long time. And, you know, they all know each other at all those stations. And he came up here, and we went out and had dinner at Bob Evans after he did an interview with me. And this personality, I was telling him about the bad... We were talking about, you know, stuff that had happened behind the camera. And I was telling him about my bad experience with Jimmy Crumb. And he said, you know what? He said, Jimmy Crumb... I don't know if I ever told this story on the air, but it's truth. He said Jimmy Crumb did all that work for Recreation Unlimited for handicapped kids, which is great that he raised all that money. But he said he was there. They had all gotten together in Columbus to raise money for Recreation Unlimited. And Jimmy was, that was his big cause. So when they got to the camera, Jimmy said something to the camera person about let him know when they were going to get close on him. And he would fake cry on the camera. Now, that's not my story. I wasn't there for it. But this guy, who's a very believable, well-known person in Columbus media, told that story about Jimmy Crumb. And Doug Adair, God rest his soul, he called me after Jimmy had called him and said, don't worry about it. That's just how Jimmy is.
Well, funny that you say that, because I know I realized that I told you that I don't know any personal stories about Jimmy Crumb, only what I've seen on TV. But as you're telling me that, I just remembered that I do know one personal story about Jimmy Crumb. And that is between 2001 and 2007, I worked for a company that did occasional work at Recreation Unlimited. And I was there one day, and I was kind of talking to some of the people and everything. And I was talking to a guy that's just like, you know, was your average laborer, hourly guy. And we were talking and everything. And I mentioned Jimmy Crumb. He just kind of looked at me and he said, yep, he makes a big deal about all the things he does for Recreation Unlimited. And yep, we appreciated it. But you know what? It's all about Jimmy Crumb.
Well, the funny thing is, and I, you know, I'm not going to put this one all on Jimmy Crumb, but a lot of those Columbus people, and I think I've interviewed probably all of them in the last 20 years, for some reason, there is a certain group of them, and Jimmy's not the only one, but they have worse egos than Ed Asner. Ed Asner had no ego. He was fine. Phyllis Diller had no ego. And these are people I knew long term. Gallagher didn't have an ego. He was difficult to deal with, but I wouldn't say it was because of ego. He just liked to do things his own way. Lulu Roman, Mr. McFeely, all these national people who I've been around for long periods of time, just as long as I was around Columbus people, had no ego. Those Columbus people, there's a certain group of them, the worst egos I've ever seen. They act like they are, I don't know, somewhere in the stratosphere. And I'll tell you, the only one that was really in the stratosphere, in my opinion, was Flippo, and he didn't act like that. He was not one of those.
Well, you know, Scott, like I said, I lived in Columbus for 40 years. I was born there. I grew up there. And when I moved away and started moving north, I don't miss Columbus one bit at all.
What's coming up on Sunday?
What's coming up on Sunday is we're going to do our Bible study in Ephesians. I'm going to talk about some current news. But on the following Sunday, June 20th, I'm going to have a live interview with a local Marion individual who's very involved in his church, in his praise and worship band. And he's also a member of a Christian rock band, and we're going to kind of talk about his transition from before he was a Christian, when he was in a heavy metal rock band, and then when he became a Christian, and how he transitioned to Christian rock.
Really? You know, I know, how old is this person?
He's in his 50s.
50s. You know, I know two people very similar to that. I mean, those are interesting stories. So that'll be 2 weeks on Sunday morning, but this Sunday will be a great show, 11:15 here on WWGH. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And it was a lot of fun last night at the party with Pastor Craig. So Sunday morning, 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. here on this station. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, this has been interesting tonight, learning about these Columbus, Ohio people. It's a weird group. I don't know. I don't know how you explain it. Maybe it's because I was around a lot of them.
Well, I can tell you my dad did not like Mike Davis.
No, he didn't. Well, no. Wasn't Mike Davis the one who jumped all over him when he used the fake Buckeye Chuck?
Yeah.
See?
Yep.
Well, I think your dad was on the air the morning that he got arrested. I remember giving him that bulletin.
Oh.
Yeah, that was an interesting morning. All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I was just listening to you guys. You're talking about Mike Davis. Like, why didn't the cops call his house or get a hold of anybody to bring his shoes? Man, didn't nobody want to come and see him. His own wife wasn't even there to pick him up. His own attorney wasn't there to pick him up. But he did what he did. Like, when they release somebody, you ever been out here to county jail and they release somebody from the county jail?
No, I've never been out there when they did that.
I've never been to jail myself either, but I've seen people walking from there. You know, I didn't nobody people might come and pick them up. That's all.
Well,
it wasn't. It ain't nothing that the sheriff's department can do or the police or anybody like that. You make your own phone call how you're getting home. The cops don't do that for you.
Well, you know what the problem is, and again, I'm not defending anything Mike Davis did, and I'm also not going to defend anything here in town that Judge Warner has done or been accused of. But the problem is that we say under the law in this country that we're going to treat everybody equally, but we don't, because what Mike Davis did, as horrible as it was, there are other people in Columbus, Ohio who have done that, who didn't have every television station waiting outside the door when he was released.
But that's what you get when you're in that position.
Right,
that's
but
what it is.
I know, but I don't know that that is... because here's the problem. It was before the trial. Now, after the trial, I'd be with you 100%. But at that point...
But that's everybody who does anything. A drug dealer, a woman beater, anybody who goes to jail. When you get out of jail, you walk right out that jail, and it's up to you after that. It don't matter. The only thing is he was in the spotlight.
Right, but I guess what I worry about is somebody... Okay, let's just take... I don't even want to use a name because I don't want to even imply that I'm saying anything.
Just make up anything.
Okay,
it don't
matter. Let's say Bob Jones is on national television, and somebody accuses Bob Jones of looking at children on the internet. So when you get accused, you're going to get run in like that, whether you're guilty or not. But because it's Bob Jones, that's a big story. So you will get released out, and they'll take pictures of you while you're in your pajamas walking down the street, and it'll be on the cover of every newspaper the next day. Bob Jones accused of looking at kids on the internet. Well, let's say Bob Jones goes to trial. Now, how does he get a fair jury who knows nothing about his case when it's been put on every television station, every radio station, and in every newspaper in this country? Even if you figure out he's not guilty, he'll never get away from that.
No, some charges you never get away from.
But
some accusations you never get away from. But specifically what Mike Davis has done. There's been other people, there's been people that get accused of that. Like, say, for instance, a teacher or anybody. Even if they get found not guilty or it ends up that person was lying, that guy will never get another teaching job, coaching job, or anything like that.
Right.
Ever again.
But the person who works at, and I don't want to, because some people at McDonald's make good money. The person at McDonald's doesn't have that problem. They can be run in. They can be, and maybe nobody will even know that they were brought in for that.
That's the territory it's on when you're in the spotlight, you know?
I guess, but it is bothersome that people...
As he's there getting all the accolades for meteorologist of the year, that all ties them together, all the same.
Right, but don't you think in society, I see this a lot, we build people up. We give him those awards. He didn't go out and buy those awards himself. We do it. We say he's a great guy. We watch him, so he has number one ratings. I think we build people up sometimes just to knock them off the pedestal.
Yeah, that happens a lot, for sure.
Yeah, it's
sure does.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But, you know, I hope Mike Davis can get it together.
I mean, you always want to see everybody, do better, but, I mean, he may do better in prison.
But why don't the people who make the accusations ever have to do the walk? You know, why is it always the person who gets accused that has to do all the answering? Why don't we ever look at the person who does the accusing?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, the Jim Ganahl thing. Now, I don't, according to tonight, there's never been any proof that he did cocaine. So whoever started that rumor that hangs with him till today, why don't we know that person's name?
Yeah, but how would you narrow that down?
That's the problem. That's what's wrong with society. We believe everything.
We shouldn't. We should be much more skeptical. Everybody wants to believe something bad about somebody. I don't know why that is.
Maybe to make themselves feel better?
Maybe. That's why I said nothing bothers me. I don't think of myself, and I don't think I am. I am not a public person. So when somebody says something about me, I say, oh, okay. Moving on. Because I have people in my life who I don't care what the public thinks. I like the public, but you can't live your life by what strangers think of you. I care about the people who are in my life, much like anybody else. You care what your family thinks. You care what your friends think. You know, what difference does it make what somebody in a grocery store thinks of you?
Right. Or somebody that is jealous of you.
Well, that too. But that never bothers me. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
What can you do about it?
Nothing. Just ignore it, I guess.
I always said if I ever ended up in prison, they'd be throwing an innocent person in prison. You know, and that happens.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's all part of your life story.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go to prison.
No, I wouldn't want to go to prison, but I think a lot about suicide. And a lot of people commit suicide because of, it seems to be financial and criminal matters. You only get, I think President Nixon said this, the only way somebody else wins is if you start believing things about yourself that people say about you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't believe anything anybody says about me. The only thing that matters is what I think.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, only if, like, a lot of the teenagers and stuff would only nowadays. You know, with social media, it's really hard for them to, you know, they want everybody else's approval.
But you know what? My people in my life have always been there. Anytime anything bad has ever happened, and I've had a very good life. Very good life. But anytime anything even remotely bad has ever happened, I'm always surprised by the kindness of people in this community. People say bad things about Marion all the time. The people here have 90% have always been absolutely nice to me. Have been kind and I mean, what can you say? If they weren't, you know, last night, one thing I forgot to do when I was driving in this morning thinking about it, you thank the audience. You know, highly unlikely we would all get together and do this if people weren't listening and calling in. So I thank the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, they got to put up with me. 15 hours a week or whatever it is.
But, I mean, if they didn't want to, they didn't have to.
You know, I'm always confused. There are a lot of broadcasters I've known who don't like the audience. Now, they don't come on the air and say that, but you know they don't. They will say stuff. They'll make fun of the audience off the air, and I could never do that. I think it all started when I was teaching. When I was teaching, the worst place to be in a school was the teacher's lounge because that's when they could talk about the kids, and I just could never do that because I thought, I'm being paid to be here to teach these kids. And they would talk about people's parents. They would talk about the students. It was awful. So why would you criticize the people that you're there for?
Yeah.
Well, if anybody else wants to call in, we got about a minute and a half. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's like Jack Benny always says, and I know I've said this quote on the air before, but I believe it's true. The best thing that can happen is if the audience likes you. If the audience doesn't like you, there's nothing you can do about it. So you can't worry about it.
I guess that's a good thing. You're not a worrier. I'm a worrier. I wish I could change that.
Well, all creative things are subjective. You know, you might like a painting that I think is awful. It doesn't mean you're right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and you're wrong. It's just subjective. Radio's subjective. Television's subjective. Movies are subjective. Dancing is subjective. Anything done in comedy is subjective. Some person's going to look at the exact same thing and say, that's great. And the other person's going to say, that's awful.
Right, which I wish I would have thought about this earlier, about you not liking Dirty Dancing.
Oh, it's the most horrible movie ever made.
Dear.
Well, bring that. We're down to 30 seconds. You always bring this up. What are we going to talk about? Well, next Friday, remember this. Make a mental note. This is what we'll talk about. Dirty Dancing, the most horrible movie ever made in the history of motion pictures. Voted on by several people in the Screen Actors Guild as the worst movie ever made. Got together, secret ballot.
I don't believe that one bit.
Do you want to say goodbye for yourself tonight, or do you want me to say goodbye for you?
You can say it.
For Angie Evers, this is Scott Spears, 7 years in here at WWGH Radio, saying good night, and I'm heading for the dugout.
Professional enthusiasm, and you're doing what I used to do. Just, you know, drive people crazy until they finally say yes and do the show. That shows me a lot.
Well,
more your kind in our game.
Well, I have to say, and there are a few more things we're going to get on into here in the next 28 minutes, but, you know, I think this is important live radio stuff to talk about.